Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. It was a wonderful one for the Noble family, and certainly was an interesting 4th of July. And before we get to David Fisher with a full Money Monday, I did want to mention something. I put a video up on Facebook and on Instagram. So if you want to join in there on Facebook, it's just under the Steve Noble Show. I put a video up from the LA area. This was hilarious. I think this was the essence of 4th of July, because you had in LA, the governor, or not the governor, not Newsom, but the mayor of LA said, you know, like a lot of mayors and a lot of people around the country, canceling fireworks. We don't want people coming out. We don't want you coming out getting COVID-19 because, you know, obviously COVID-19 gets spread even more when the fireworks are going off. Just kidding. Take it easy. That's I'm just me being funny or attempting to be. But there was several live videos. And the one that I posted on Facebook as well as on Instagram was of a TV chopper, a news chopper, just cruising. Looked like it was probably going south to north, going up the coast there in LA. And it was like the biggest fireworks display you could imagine, as people, Americans, because the government said no to the 4th of July fireworks, but the people there, the American citizens there, the good people of the nation there in the LA area, decided yes. And so you see these fireworks going off literally everywhere. It was just beautiful. I thought, how apropos, how fitting in a nation that is losing its mind in many different ways. But that was really great to see. And certainly where we were on 4th of July, there were tons of fireworks going all over the place. So that's the deal. Government says no. If the American people want to say yes, then you say yes. You do what you need to do, and you go from there, and that's pretty cool, right? I mean, I just thought that was hilarious that people did that, and gratifying, to be quite honest, because it was nice to see the American people, even though their government was telling them no, they said yes and blew off a bunch of fireworks. So I just wanted to start off our show today, our full Money Monday show today, with that little bit of good news when it's such a dark and strange season. Our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com is the website, as always. Landmarkgold.com is with us on the show today. David, how are you, my friend? How was your 4th of July?
I have all my fingers, and nobody got hurt. We didn't light up the city of New York or Los Angeles or even Phoenix, and that's where we're at. But we lit up the neighborhood. It was a nice little fun display for a few people, about 14 of us at our house. So it was fun.
What's the deal with fireworks in Arizona? Because in North Carolina, where I'm at, the government here for a while has been anti-American. We only get like the lame-o fireworks that don't do much. Nothing's going up in the sky. It's not a lot of power. It's just kind of a lame excuse. But what's the deal in Arizona?
Yeah, I grew up in Seattle, so I'm used to like the rockets and, you know, everything goes up in the air and, you know, you shoot them at each other. Don't tell anybody. I said, oh, that's right, I'm on the radio. I did that as kids. You're not supposed to do that as kids. But
correct.
No, in Phoenix, yeah, we're just like you guys. Nothing that the highest fireworks that we shot off, I think, went up, you know, 15 feet. It wasn't an actual rocket or anything. It was just, you know, the display, you know. So
yeah,
that was
yeah,
the extent of the grand finale, a 15-footer thing. So it's lame.
Yeah, that's good. Glad you had a good weekend. And the stock market on the heels of the fireworks and what was going on, even though the fireworks weren't going up as much, at least the big ones, other people's were. But the stock market's up today about 460 points. So let's talk about that. How have they performed year to date, and what's going on right now?
Yeah, so these are the close of Thursday's close, because Friday the market was closed to celebrate Independence Day. The Dow is up year to date 9.8%. S&P down 9.8%. Get my facts right. That's a big difference. S&P still down 3.5%. So the numbers are going to be slightly up next time we talk, unless we have a correction. But the NASDAQ is leading the charge almost 13%, 12.9% up. It's the only index of the three that are up. Gold, 17%. It's leading the charge still again.
Yeah, and that's been interesting to watch that all year, and it's been this topsy-turvy, crazy stock market. And is this something that the stock market's moving up right now, the market moving up just because people are feeling kind of optimistic because we still have some challenging economic numbers? We had a great jobs report recently, obviously 4.5 million jobs coming in. So what's kind of driving the positive territory right now as far as we can tell?
Two words, the Fed, you know. So the Fed is the whole driving in force behind this. They always said don't fight the Fed, you know. So there's this huge dichotomy going on, Stephen, and as time goes on, it seems like there's more numbers that even make the discrepancy between Wall Street and Main Street even larger. And now, you know, we're dealing with a lot of things, still another breakout coming with COVID-19. But the IMF is slashing forecasts and saying we're in a crisis like the world has never seen before, yet the market is booming like crazy. And that's all because of the Fed. So the dichotomy is the government's, you know, saying, should we save jobs or so we save lives, you know, and so there's this huge dichotomy, not the saying the president is doing a bad job and not insinuating that in any way. He's got big shoes to walk in, and I'm glad I'm not here to fill his shoes or give him advice, but that's a big challenge, you know, what should we do? And so now with this breakout happening in Arizona, Florida, and a few other states, the Fed is throwing trillions to keep ahead of millions of people, you know, being infected. So the Fed is doing that on the backstop of, you know, we have really bad data. You know, fleet sales and cars plunged 56% in June.
Wow.
JP Morgan comes out and says the world is drowning in the most amount of debt it's ever had. And that's good for stocks, they said, which it is, because it makes stocks cheap. It's just this whole mentality of ironicity that's just completely crazy. And then, you know, Trump's doing extended the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. But, you know, there's $130 billion that's been used, but there's been $660 billion that's been allocated, and not too many companies are coming in right now. So we'll talk more about that after the break.
Yeah, talk after the break. And so much to pay attention to. And David mentioned, David, I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold. David mentioned about the Fed buying stocks. What's up with that, and how comfortable are you with the federal government getting into the stock market? It wouldn't be the first time. It certainly won't be the last. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is Monday, July 6th, the first Money Monday of the month. So in case you're newer to the show, we welcome you here. We talk a lot about a lot of different things on this show. Sometimes people will say, hey, Steve, what's your radio show about? And my answer has always been simple. It's everything. My radio show is about everything. We're all over the map. We do theology stuff on Thursdays. We talk to David Fisher and do some market things and talk about precious metals and what's going on in the world of banking and finance. We do that. A full show on the first Monday of the month. We do little Money Monday updates, the last segment on the show, usually on Mondays. The other weeks of the month, we talk about politics, obviously, pop culture. I'll get authors in here, counselors, different types of people. I say the show is about everything because our Christianity should really be overlaid onto every nook and cranny of life. And so how does your Christianity, how does my Christianity intersect with the world around us? So there's all kinds of ways. And so that's why in the show, it's all over the map. It's not just politics and the news of the day all the time, even though I do that quite a bit, especially in this season, COVID-19, whatever it is, the protests, Black Lives Matter. But I'm not going to park on any of those things all 5 days a week. It's not a news talk show 5 days a week. I think that's certainly unhealthy for me. I think it's probably unhealthy for most of us. As Christians, we too easily sell our joy down the river when it comes to news talk and what's going on out there in the world of politics. But the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament speaks a lot about money and possessions. There's actually more scriptures about money and possessions than there are specifically about faith or even about prayer. So God knows our hearts. He knew we would struggle with this issue. We're trying to be good stewards of that. And in order to be good stewards, especially from an investment standpoint, we need to pay attention to a lot of different things, not just what the stock market says each and every day. And that's where our good friend David Fisher comes in. He's been in that world for about 25 years now, specifically in the world of precious metals. But because of the way that interacts with the market and regular investments like stocks and cash and real estate diversification, we talk about a lot of different things as we are today. So, David, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
No, absolutely. You know, we're talking about the market and the economy. There's this talk, you know, we have a V, a W recovery, or an L, which means it just went down and hardly recovering. I think it's more like an N, a P, and a B. You might be thinking, like, what is that?
Yeah, that's what all right, let me write that down. An N, what was the next one?
P as in Peter.
Yep.
And B as in boy.
N as in Nancy, P as in Peter, B as in boy. Okay, NPB. What does that stand for?
So it's either going to be a V, a W, or an L. Or it could be an NPB. No plan B. In other words, you have to understand the Fed and the government. They're just throwing tons of money at this.
Yeah.
There's no other plan. Just throw a lot of money at it, and hopefully time, people will get back to work. Well, according to all the data, has nothing to do with the government. Well, the Congressional Budget Office, you want to call that a branch of the government, they're saying 10 years before this thing recovers. And others like the IMF, I mean, there's hardly anybody out there saying, except for a few that are, you know, not really highly telling the whole story, that this is not a quick recovery. Yeah, the market's a quick recovery, but mainstream is not a quick recovery. That's a long-term getting 10 million more people back to work at 3.5% unemployment.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago started talking about the Fed buying stocks. Now, the Fed gets involved with the economy all the time. It's a lock and a key. It's frickin' frack. It's whatever pairing you want to make. The Fed is intimately involved with the economy. But when it comes to the Fed actually buying stocks, I mean, a lot of us remember back to 2008 with the bailout, and all of a sudden the federal government's taking ownership, a majority stake in GM and stuff like that. So help us understand this notion of the Fed actually buying stocks and companies.
Well, first of all, you have to understand the role of the Fed. I mean, originally when they were set up, they're in their own bylaws, they're saying they're not even going to buy bonds. They're just going to dictate interest rates and the flow of money. But in essence, summarizing it simply, they're not there to influence the stock market, but they do that. And they're not there by law, by their own mandate. They're saying, you know, that's all we do. We buy assets. The only assets we buy are treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. I mean, in 2008, that's all they did. They didn't buy bonds in 2008, 9, and 10. It's only until they made this announcement in March on the piggybacks of saying, by the way, banks don't need to have any cash on hand, zero reserves, which is just insane. Then they came out just like a week later and said, oh, by the way, we're going to support the market by buying bonds. And then they said they're going to do it through ETFs. And then it propagated from that to individual bonds. And then they said, oh, now we're going to set up a special facility to buy possibly stocks. It's actually coming out, and I said a couple weeks ago that this is going to happen, and now they're actually talking about the ideology. So before we get into that, I want to say this. George Washington warned that unsecured paper money would ruin commerce, oppress the honest, this is his quote,
yeah,
open the door to every species of fraud and injustice. BlackRock.
George Washington, crazy. Right? The George Washington.
Yeah, the George Washington. After
That's
being
amazing.
The first president of the United States said that because he knew the corruptness that came from England.
Yeah.
When it comes to the monetary system, and he knew what bankers could do to fabricate something that's sound and based upon good principles, like our money being backed by gold, and to twist it into something completely different. And that's where we're headed at lightning speed. I mean, the Fed's balance sheet is going to be at $10 trillion by the end of the year. Not just my opinion. One of the previous Federal Reserve chairmen out of New York, Dudley, just said that. Bill Dudley. So that's where we're going. We're at, you know, $3.8 trillion here a year ago, and they tried to unwind it, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
So now they're going the opposite way at light speed. So the Fed recently signed a power of attorney to BlackRock, Inc., to manage trades. And I have a copy of that power of attorney here in front of me, and it's, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it is in this section, it says this. It has, it's, BlackRock is given complete authority to purchase, sell, exchange, convert, otherwise transact in any and all stocks, bonds, cash held for investment and other assets as BlackRock Financial Management Inc. may select. Signed by the Fed. This is not a new thing. It is new to the Fed, but it's not new to central banking. The Bank of Japan owns 70% of Japan's equities and ETFs, and they've been doing that since 2010. The Swiss National Bank, those are the two international banks, World Reserve banks, that are buying stocks. The Swiss bank owns about 100 billion U.S. stocks. In fact, I have a list of what the stocks they are. I mean, some are mainstream stocks.
Yeah.
So it sounds in the form of the world, this is how we move and we start to adulterate the purpose of a central bank, and they start to not allow free money or free markets, and they fabricate a free market, and then what happens? A bubble's created, and the bubble pops, and that's where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we're going once again, and it's a cyclical thing. You can run, but you can't hide. We're talking to David Fisher today. David, I'm going to put you on hold for the break. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, LandmarkGold.com, LandmarkGold.com, as always, great information and education there, especially when it comes to utilizing precious metals in a portfolio, one aspect of it. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is the first Monday in July. If you check your calendar, Monday, July 6th. So here on the program with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, LandmarkGold.com. LandmarkGold.com is their website. And we do a full show, a full Money Monday update on the first Monday of the month. And that's why David is spending the entire hour with us. But very, very important topics as we consider to kind of pay attention and learn whatever we can based on what's going on in the stock market, what's going on in the world of precious metals, what's going on with the Fed, the federal government, the debt, the banking industry, and not just here in America, but around the world, because the whole thing's connected. So it's very complicated. That's why it's an ongoing conversation. But like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Bible speaks much about possessions and money. God knew that we would struggle with that as a heart issue. And so we are trying to appropriate correctly how we deal with this and make sure we're knowledgeable. People perish for lack of knowledge. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to be good stewards of whatever it is. So whether you have a very little or just a medium amount, or if you have more, we're called to be good stewards of everything, not the least of which is money, which is why we talk to David on a regular basis. Again, David, thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. You know, the Federal Reserve, Steve, is a very confusing thing at times, because they create all these programs. And I think, you know, to quote another famous person, Henry Ford, said this about the Fed: it is well enough that people of our nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, he's saying, I believe that there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. So that's why we talk about the Fed, because it does affect our money, sometimes positive and sometimes negative. It's affecting the stock market positive and making gold go up positive. So
yeah, and so do you expect the Fed that, you know, with this deal that they signed with BlackRock, is this kind of like, okay, we need to keep a few different bullets in our chamber, and we need to be able to do something with this? Our mutual friend TJ on Facebook was like, hey, this is like the last arrow in their quiver, because come hell or high water, excuse my French, everybody, the Fed yeah. wants to keep everything looking as good as it can. They're going to prop up in any way that they can. But I also wanted to ask you about the political implications, because there's a lot of people that want the economy to stay in a bad condition until early November, until the election. And then let's say Joe Biden gets in, God help us, then they'd want to turn it around. But I wanted to ask you about that. Is this the Fed like we need to have this arrow in our quiver? We need to fire it off if things get bad enough. And how much can we trust the Fed in terms of just politics?
Well, the Fed is insistent, not just Jerome Powell, but previous Fed chairmen have been insistent, even all the way back to Greenspan. But Greenspan visited the White House just about every week. So, I mean, they say they're apolitical, but, you know, I've never, you know, come close to a Fed official and have been able to talk to him about it. But let's, you know, we all have a human side of us, and we all have our own opinion of certain things. And to do that without being affected, you know, lower interest rates or, yeah, you know, create monetary supply, and to say that no politics interfere in that, you have to have an S on your chest, I think, at some point to get into that realm of saying that you're not influenced by the environment. I mean, I think the Fed does not want the market to fall apart. That's a given. Are they doing it for political reasons? I'm going to yield to say no, because I would want to say, I'm not naive to everybody when I say this, because I know the Fed.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Fed is, I can say this, that the Fed probably has, TJ's right, but I think the Fed has one more bullet behind this. I don't think they'll ever put it in the chamber, and that's negative interest rates. But they insist they will never do that. But would you have and I ever thought when we first started talking, even just a year ago, we never thought the Fed would be buying bonds. Yet they're
right.
Doing that.
Right.
They have, and now they're entertaining this idea. This is not coming from them, by the way. This is coming from people who understand how the Fed works and saying this is the direction we're going. And the same sources I'm using in this is the same sources they said they're going to be buying bonds long before they announced they're going to buy bonds.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
If they did do this, it would influence the market, obviously. It's going to influence gold, obviously. I mean, all assets are going to rise. But the whole thing is they're creating a bubble, and that's what Scott Minyard, who's a billionaire, you know, said on the coattails of the Fed when they said they're going to buy bonds. He said this, that there's going to be a point where the Federal Reserve is going to pull out a bazooka. That's his quote. And he says, I think the option of buying stocks is part of that, having this on the table for the Fed. He's expecting that the market correct in the S&P to March 23rd low again and maybe go down as low as 1,600. Those are his numbers. So, and, you know, he's a billionaire, and he thinks that the Fed is way out there right now. And most hedge fund managers and most money managers are in that camp. There's only a few that are saying, hey, this is the greatest thing, let's just keep buying stocks, but they're
not.
You know, we've seen this before. I mean, it's going to probably happen, and even Interactive Brokers founder Thomas Peterfee said on a professional side that he's seeing most of their investors are accumulating cash right now. They're selling into this rally. So just be really careful chasing a market and having 100% of your money in that market. I don't care how hot that market is or what that market is, just don't put 100% of your money into it.
Not wise at all. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. It is a Full Money Monday today on the Steve Noble Show, so we're glad you guys are here with us. And will we know, and then we're going to move on because I want to ask you about the bail-in and some things about precious metals, specifically gold. But will we know if the Fed uses BlackRock and actually starts buying stocks? Will there be some kind of knowledge of that, or is that going to be something we find out about 30 or 60 days later?
No, I think it's going to come out probably the day after, within a week after they do it. BlackRock has to disclose their trades, and that's how I'm finding out this information. It's public knowledge. I mean, I found out, you know, on a program last week, I disclosed, you know, who were the three top bond purchasers, and they weren't U.S. companies. They were foreign companies BlackRock bought to prop up that stock. I mean, that does not help America. So it'll come out, and we'll know about it, because it's going to be public. Yeah. It's a public trade that goes out.
Well, remind us a little bit. We talk about the bail-in occasionally. You've done some white papers, the main white paper called The Coming Bail-In, which is available when you call David's company or go to the website, landmarkgold.com. But give us an update on that. And we know that's like kind of a worst-case scenario in many ways. But it has happened in other parts of the world. So give us a quick update on that.
Well, it's the opposite of a bailout. We bailed out banks in 2008, 9, and 10. We bailed out systems. Who would come and bail out America? There isn't an entity large enough. So that's where the bail-in comes into place. It's happened in 8 countries already. I got a white paper out on it. The laws have been set up to do that in our country, unfortunately, called the Dodd-Frank Act. By the way, I'm rewriting the eighth edition, which will have footnotes on where I get all my data from, so you can look it up on the internet and verify what I'm telling you is 100% accurate. And that's how we want to abide. If there's anything I'm saying that's incorrect, a couple times I've come on your show and said, by the way, I need to fix what I said and clarify that. So
sure.
We want to make sure we always have that the truth sets us free, no matter what that is, good or bad news. It's the truth. So that's prepare yourself for a bail-in. You should. It's something that's on the table. I got to subscribe to many newsletters. One is a stock newsletter, and this stock newsletter that's been very accurate, by the way, the last 3-4 years I've been reading it, on what stocks to buy and what were the things are going to happen. They talk about the Fed, too, so I can glean some information from that. They've recently been coming out they come out every day. I get a newsletter about 2 or 3 times last month and the month before, they're talking about a bail-in. This is a stock newsletter talking about a bail-in, and they just came out with another one. They're saying and quoting, and this is actually, haven't had a chance to look this up, but it's in Bloomberg. They're quoting Abigail Disney, which is the granddaughter of Roy, which is the brother, older brother to Walt. She came out and said, quote, "We need a wealth tax." I frankly believe Elizabeth Warren is completely right about that, and I think it's very easy to talk about a 1% or 2% wealth tax that would generate so much value in the economy. So, you know, she's talking about it.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
That's not even the number. I mean, the Wall Street Journal by Roman Hochul article, The Coming Global Wealth Tax, says 56 to 71%. The IMF has publicly said 10% is the wealth tax. But 10% wouldn't even be enough to be a dent. 1 to 2% would be $500 billion. That's a month. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the number's going to be big if they do it, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why people...
Well, I was going to say the federal government, I mean, just the U.S. federal government spends over $11 billion a day.
Yeah.
$11 billion a day. So when you say they go, oh, we had a $60 billion cut or whatever, you just go, well, okay, well, that's about 5 days. That's about 4 days of spending at the federal level.
Yeah.
So you really have to understand the scale of these things to understand when they're telling you something that matters and when they're telling you something that doesn't. And what would you say would be the greatest example? Greatest sounds bad, but the most obvious example of the bail-in. Was that what happened in Greece? Would you say that's kind of the easiest way to understand it?
Greece had 3 of them, and that's why they had riots. Cyprus was the biggest one. The Sydney Herald Times had a really good article about it.
Yeah, so we're going to pick it up there. We're going to start talking about how gold and silver plays into this and how you can use gold. Even in an IRA, we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show with a Full Money Monday, and we will be right back after this. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And for those of you on Facebook Live and you're thinking things look a little different, well, that's because we're in our new studio space. So God provided a great space. I mean, a remarkably, like miraculously cheap in terms of monthly lease. I haven't had to pay a lease for a space since the show started. I got started way back in 2007. I did 3 years on Saturdays and then got off the air for a little while. Had a different plan. So about 3 or 4 months later, I got back on the air and started doing a daily show. So I was with Truth Radio Network, who still syndicates the show, just a tremendous partner, and Stu Epperson and Michael Carbone and the whole team there. And Beth Ann McBride, who's helping us out today and doing the producing there in Winston-Salem. So I used their studios for a while, and then we had a situation up at the seminary where we do Theology Thursdays for the last several years. And that worked out great. And then that had to change just over the last couple of weeks. So for the first time, I have my own place. So right now, you're just seeing it in progress. I was in here last week putting up all these sound panels with spray-on adhesive. That's as close to getting high as I ever want to get. And then yesterday, I was installing this kind of restored barn wood wall behind me. And so we've got lighting coming in, all kinds of stuff. So once we get it done here in the next week or two, it's going to be awesome. Super excited about that. We're trying to up our game on video and Facebook, and then eventually a YouTube channel. So just trying to go where the Lord would have us go, to work with excellence and then to apply his truth to every nook and cranny of life, not the least of which is why we're talking to our good friend David Fisher today. As a full Money Monday, the first Monday of the month, our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And again, David, as always, thank you so much for helping us understand all these things and all the work that you do to help us stay on top of it. It's not an easy subject to keep a hold of, that's for sure.
Well, it's my honor, my pleasure, and my calling, I'd say, at this point in my life. And I feel very blessed and honored to be a part of your ministry and support it in any way I can.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it that way, David. You always do. David's a, for those of you that are newer to the show, David's a fellow believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, and has been for years. Actually, used to be a youth pastor way back when, a couple years ago, and so we come at all of this. Our primary concern is ministry, truth, glorifying God, ministering to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So David and I have been doing radio for, gosh, what is it? Like probably almost 4 years now. And we come at everything as followers of Jesus Christ, trying to understand these issues, and stewardship of our finances is important. But just so you guys know, if you're newer to the show, David and I operate out of a biblical worldview. Yes, we're talking about money and financing and business and the stock market and the banks and all that kind of stuff. But all that flows through a biblical filter. So that's the way we operate. And just a reminder for all of you that you guys know me well enough because 5 days a week. But I wanted you to know that about our brother David as well. But we were talking earlier about, gold still outperforming stocks this year. And you said that all the way back in the first part of January that gold would outperform stocks. Do you think we're going to see that? Where, believe it or not, I mean, we just started the second half of the year. Do you think that's going to continue through the end of 2020?
Well, I think that if you look at the snapshot of the last month, I mean, obviously stocks are having a heyday. That's all because of the previous month before that. It was horrendous. So I think that we're in a misnomer type of environment. I think we'll still finish out the end of the year where gold will be above percentage-wise the indexes, the three major ones, NASDAQ, Dow, and S&P 500, because the environment dictates it. You have any time historically that the Fed has done what they've done, where they expand the balance sheet aggressively, or any time the government spends like they've done. I mean, let's put it into perspective. The largest budget, or the smallest budget deficit, we'll start with that, in the last 10 years has been $441 billion, where we overspent per year on a government. We're now approaching, by the end of the year, $4 trillion deficit is what the analysts are projecting. So, I mean, that's a big difference of the bookends. And in QE 1, 2, and 3, we were overspending not even $1 trillion. So we're talking about four times as much spending right now as we did during quantitative easing. And the Fed is doing three-plus times more QE than they did then. And so the numbers are the Dow went up 78% from 2008 to 2012, and gold went up twice as much by index, 188%. So more than likely, we're going to have a big, strong movement in gold, and gold is like a light switch. It's either on or off, and it's on. It got to the on button, got turned on in gold about 2 years ago. On the first year, it's kind of hard to say we're in a bull market, but we clearly are in a major bull market right now. Yeah. And the gold market bull markets for about 9 to 12 years normally.
And when you say it's best to describe, David, a lot of people, you know, kind of scratch their heads. That's why David and I spent hours on the phone going back to 2016 before we late 2015, actually early 2016, before we actually did radio together, because I didn't understand precious metals at all. I heard all kinds of advertising. You know, I hear some catastrophe kind of talk. But once I started to understand, get educated about it, which is why we have David on, is one of the things we get educated about with the use of precious metals, in this case specifically gold. Then I realized, okay, this is like a hedge. I use word pictures a lot. So you have your sail above the water, you have your keel underneath, you got to have some ballast under there, you have the opposite end of the teeter-totter, all that kind of stuff. So is it okay to look at gold as like a hedge against the market and against the things that are going on out there, that it's the opposite end and just a kind of a way to protect yourself? Or do we look at it like just another stock?
Well, it's not a stock because it's a physical asset, and it doesn't, you're not going to go in and out of the market like you do with stocks. You're not going to do that in gold. This is like the turtle in the race. And the numbers, percentage-wise, depict it's the turtle. It that won the race. In fact, all three major bull markets from the 70s, the Dow went up 9%, and gold went up 590% by index. So, I mean, when it moves usually really big, but it's not something you're going to go in and out of. It is a hedge, yes, but sometimes, you know, there used to be this ideology where, you know, if stocks go up, gold's going down, you know, and that's this. There's been some of that, but that ideology is not really a true yardstick to use, because obviously stocks have been going up and gold's been going up here, and it did the same thing in 2008 through 2012. So it's a hedge, but it's a diversified tool, and it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, and it's not something that your CPA or your financial advisor or stockbroker is going to understand. And we believe that before you invest, you should sit down with one of my representatives, and there's no obligation, no pressure, but big on education, and hear the different aspects of the different choices in the markets, their benefits, their drawbacks, and you choose what you think is best for you, if even you want to do this.
Yeah, so, but exactly.
I think it's really important to have some money in cash, some money in stocks, some money in real estate, and some money in precious metals, gold or silver. It's really important to have some insurance on your money right now.
Yeah, what a great point. Now, a few years ago, you started talking about how that you can actually have gold and silver in an IRA and actually take possession of it. That's one thing about a bail-in, that you get it out of kind of the electronic stream where the feds can get their hands on it. And if you actually have something in your possession, obviously they can't do anything about it. But that was a novel idea. I had not heard about that before. And then about a year after you were talking about it on the show, I started to hear advertisements for it on some local conservative talk radio stations. So help us to understand that, using gold and silver actually in an IRA.
Yeah, so there's the Taxpayer Relief Act of 1997, allowed you to have what we call a self-directed IRA, which allows you to purchase physical gold and silver. And there's two different ways of doing this. We have a white paper on it. One is doing it at a depository where you don't get to hold your gold, and there's a depository fees, and there's benefits and drawbacks to that. We tell you what they are. Then the other way is setting up a LLC for $385 one-time fee, where you can actually purchase your gold and silver and hold it in your possession without a tax liability. And so we have a white paper that explains this and the IRS ruling, and we have a lawyer that, he doesn't work for us, he's independent, he just sets up the LLCs, that he's done a thing called an opinion letter that says this is legal, it's approved by the IRS, and so you're all covered on every basis. Naturally, we encourage you to go advise with your CPA or a tax advisor, and usually you'll find out that they don't really know anything about this. It's not, because it has nothing to do with taxes. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not real common. Yeah.
But, you know, we're big on strategy, big on education. We have a thing called financial blueprint. So, you know, if they flip the switch, Steve, and they have to seize a portion of your money, this area that's in stocks, cash, bonds, mutual funds are all susceptible to that. But if you have some of your money diversified in a tangible asset, that's immune from that, because bail-ins were all done electronically.
Right.
On top of that, it's an asset class that's moving percentage-wise so far outperforming indexes. And if we continue where history has gone before, we'll probably see that being the case where gold and silver will outperform individual indexes. So I've always said, if you take care of your money now, then down the road, your money will take care of you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why David and I talk about education all the time. And so that's one of the ways you can do that, to get involved and just start finding out, educate for yourself, just like I did a few years ago. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com. You can do the financial blueprint. You can get the coming bail-in white papers. You can find out information about the IRA that David's explaining to us. LandmarkGold.com, or like you like to say, David, the old-fashioned way, which I think is becoming more old-fashioned every week, but we're going to keep using it because we still live that way. 844-879-8882 is the number for David and his team. 844-879-8882 or LandmarkGold.com. David, as always, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks so much for helping us out today.
My pleasure and my honor, my brother.
All right, pal. God bless you. We'll talk again real soon. Have a great week. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be on location tomorrow. Emergency chaplains, such an important ministry, especially right now, because they minister especially to our police officers. So don't miss that one tomorrow. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.